Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Mem Aleph, and we are right at that Halakha Mishnah. You know, we could even have a duet with the two of you next to each other like that. That would be amazing. We've never had a duet. How do you like that? Maybe we should try just this once. A historical moment, huh? Let's see how you could learn a little bit more Litvak. And the Litva could learn a little bit of crazy. Come on, Doc, give it to us. We'll do it together. Unmute, man. Let's go. Doc's, there we go. Okay. Good day, come on.
Rich is the expert.
Let's go. You absolutely wiped out the competition there. HaOmer Patiti et Pitor Shaplodi. So now we get to another element of the Dinim of Tashlumim that we've been looking at, which is fascinating because remember all along our understanding of why the Masechet goes into these Inyanim is the question of the relationship of the Tashlumim to the injured party. So how do we protect women from the vagaries of the Tashlumim, which could be subject to all kinds of other issues? And those other issues included the Kimlei Bidarabi Minei and the Inyan of Kederi Shato and so on. So we've been talking about all of that, but we've neglected to talk about one very important thing. And that is the fact that when a person is modeh b'knas, he doesn't pay, which creates a rather strange situation. Because in other words, if the guy, and it's in a sense more than a strange situation, it's a terrible situation. Because let's say a guy seduced somebody's daughter, and what he does is, and he hears that the father is angry at him, all he needs to do is to go to Beis Din and to say, listen, I have to admit I seduced so-and-so's daughter. So then he's going to be putter from that knas. I mean, of course, he may still be chayev to the father for boshes upgam, because those are not in the knases, but they might be dependent in knases. We saw before the sheet of the Rishonim that learns that the two are interrelated. And what's even worse is that the easy way out is very, very powerful as a way to get the father to shut up. Because the father doesn't want the whole town talking about the fact that this guy's been carrying on with his daughter. So he could say to the father, listen, Mr. Dad, either you shut your mouth, or I'm going to go to Beis Din, and I'm going to go to the papers, I'm going to tell him your daughter's been making out with me, and that this has been going on for years. What do you think of that? Yeah? Then you're not going to collect, and I'm going to wreck your daughter's reputation. So this is a crazy situation. So the fact that the guy is shayach to all of this gives a tremendous jolt to the issue of her being able to actually be protected. Therefore comes along our Mishnah, an interesting situation, in which the Mishnah says, HaOmer patiti et bito shel ploni, mishalem boshet upgam al piatzmo, ve'enu mishalem knas. And the truth is that he is mishalem, it's just that he indeed will pater himself from knas. Now, it turns out that the main chiddush of this Mishnah is that we do not make a takona, or some learn that it would even be derived, so I'll explain to you why, that he will be mishalem al pi atzmo, the knas as well. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. But he does beferish have to pay boshes upkam al pi atzmo. So it does not go along with the Torah. Meida b'knas does not pater you from any types of related issues, in which case this is not going to be very useful for him, because that may be a heck of a lot more than the knas that he's avoiding, the chamishim shekel. Now, once we're into this sugya, which is the din of modeh b'knas patur, gavi, modeh b'knas patur is an important card. So ha'omer ganavti, so say a guy would be modeh that he stole. So, well, stealing, That doesn't have to do with knas, does it? It does, because remember that stealing can be mechayev you not only the actual value of what was stolen, which is called the keren, but in all other cases besides shorvaseh, is mechayev you an additional fine of double the value of what you stole, which is called kefel. So you'd have to pay two b'sach hakol. And if you were talking about Arba Ava Chamisha in the case of a Seh V'Shor, so then the issue would be that you would be Chayev for five times. What's the din if you said Ganavti? So over there, indeed, you can only be Chayev yourself to pay the Keren, which is the one-time value, Ve'enu Mishalim, neither Tashlomei Kefel, nor Tashlomei Arba Ava Chamisha, because those are Knasot. If you come along and you say, my shor killed so-and-so, or my shor killed so-and-so shor, so then you would be mishalem al pi atzmo. Now, of course, that's not so pashut, because remember that the din of a shor, hamuad, which we're talking about over here, who is mishalem, he would be chayev the kofer, right? Because, I mean, we were just talking about that. V'gam ba'alav yumat, and that would mean that im kofer yushat alav, he would be paying the kofer. And over here it says, ha'reze mishalem al piatzmo. But we know that's a big machlokas in Mesechet Makot and in other places. Is kofer considered to be a knas, or is it considered to be a strange form of tashlumi? Now, you'd think on the surface that this question, which is, again, Gavi, you'll have to write this down here. I hope you're really there, and it's not just your trademark over there, because Pfizer's outdone you anyway, I think, in the vaccine area. But this is Kufra Mamona or Kufra Knosa, which is a big machlokas. And over here, since it says Hareza Mishalim Apiatzmo, it's clear that this Tana holds that Kofer is Mama, not Knas, because otherwise it would have to say that if he's made at the Tashlum Kofer, he would be Potter. Here it says Yerchayev. Furthermore, Hemit Shori Avdosha Ploni. What's the halacha over there? As we were discussing recently, the din of Shorosha Ploni. Remember, we talked about Shloshim Shel Eved. Whether that Eved is considered to be the world's greatest computer programmer or not, that's a din in Knas. You always pay 30. So therefore, if you were moted that your shor killed such and such an Eved, you would not pay al piatzmo because it's a Knas. Zeh klal, now we get to the strange klal, which seems to violate some of the things we've been talking about. Well, I mean, I understand there are cases where it's yeter al mashi yizik, but I mean, isn't it also, and if he pays less than mashi yizik? I mean, what if the eved was worth, didn't we say if the eved is worth $1 million, you'd still pay shloshim shel eved? You know, if you want to achieve anything, I'd expect not just a cup of coffee, Barnea, but something a little bit more powerful. Yesterday, that beautiful 3 ounces of scotch. Now, that's something. But you're certainly not going to compete with Richie in this. So in this case, it should have said, you would think, kosher enu mishalem, mashi yizik mishalem yoter, o pachot, I don't know. The Gemara is going to discuss this, and we'll see what the implications are of this interesting language. Ask the Gemara, why do we talk about the case of I seduced your daughter? Why don't we talk about the case of I raped your daughter? Wouldn't that be the same thing? So, velisne anasti, and that would even be a bigger chiddush. Because, I mean, I'd say, you know, listen, a guy who's moted that he's a rapist, I mean, we're going to let him off. I thought this day is not be kind to rapists day, we said, right? So, I mean, maybe we should say, and certainly that's the halacha. I mean, technically speaking, we don't find that there was any takana that a guy who's meida, that he's a rapist, doesn't have a din of meida b'knas poter. He does. So why did the mission leave it out? That's very suspicious. Ah, because there is a bigger chiddush, interestingly enough, in the din of seduction than there is in the chiddush of rape. Why? Exactly as we talked about in the Mishnah. If he goes ahead and he says that I've been sleeping with your daughter, so then he is ruining her reputation far more effectively than if she was the victim of a rape, because he's saying that she's basically been sleeping around, she's a prostitute, and so on. That's going to ruin her reputation in town. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that lo mi boy kama, lo mi boy anasti dekopogim lo demishalim boshesup gam al piatzmo, avo patiti dekopogim lo, ema lo mishalim al piatzmo. The big Chiddush in the Mishnah, forget about the knas. The big Chiddush in the Mishnah actually is the opposite. Because I would have thought, even though there's a din d'oraisa, but hodat bal din kimea edim dami, maybe the Rabbanan made a takana that Bezdin will not accept rotten people who are trying to ruin someone else's reputation by supposedly being very honest and coming forth and paying the Boshe Zupkam. Yeah, right. Really nice of you to go around and bring it to the New York Times. And yeah, it's exactly what we expect you to do. So you would have thought that maybe there's a takana to Rabbanan. Now, that's a little strange, because why would we make up a takana? In other words, a takana drabonin either exists or it doesn't exist, right? So to say that there's a chiddush in the Mishnah that I would have thought that there is a takana drabonin, like, does it appear in any of the law books? I mean, like, what do you mean I would have thought? Now, I must tell you that there are places, and I've explained this many times, that there is a very important yesod that you see throughout Shas, that when something cries out for addressing, then it means that innately we treat it as if it's a takona and we need to be metaket. That's the point that the Mishnah would be making. That's one way of learning it. There's another fascinating way that some of the Achronim say, which is that it could be that midiraisa, the concept of hoda'at baldin, only means where I'm saying something that doesn't hurt anyone else. And that makes a lot of sense. In other words, I can be mechayev myself anything, and we'll give it a legal stature, and we'll collect it. You say you owe money to this guy, fine. You didn't pay it, so then if the guy wants his money, we'll go to court and we'll take it from you. We'll go and attach your bank account, whatever, right? But maybe that whole halacha would only apply midiraisa mitzad hasvara, where all I'm doing with my hodah is being mechayev myself, where I'm really a bum, and what I'm really trying to do is hurt someone else, even though it costs me a little bit of money, because, you know, I couldn't pay for the ad in the New York Times calling her a prostitute, but I can make it an exciting item of news by ready to pay my, I'll pay $1,000 Boshes Begam. I would have cost me $20,000 to put the ad in the New York Times. Ha ha! Brilliant. Okay, so in a case like that, maybe midiraisa is no din of hodat baldin, and a bezdin does not have the right to give any basis to a person who's saying something bad about someone else. That's the point. So that could be a diraisa. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to tell me that indeed it would still be true that the bezdin could force him to pay boshes Zupkam al piatzmo. So I would have thought, let's just see that inside, that lo mi boy anasti de loka pogim lo de mishalim boshet upkam al piatzmo. The chiddush is that not only in a case of rape, but even where the guy is saying that I've been seducing her, the kapogim lo, which case he's really ruining her reputation. So therefore, ema lo mishalim al piatzmo, and we shouldn't accept those words, kamash malon matnitin, and the kamash malon, that it's not true. Now, this idea in our Mishnah, this means that the Mishnah is specifically not going according to Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, even Boshes Zupkam Einu Mishalim al pi atzmo. Why? Because indeed, there is such a halacha. Lo kol heimenu, it's not in his hands, sheyivgom bito shel ploni. And that lashon of lo kol heimenu means that it's not really up to him. That implies that like the shita of the Achronim that say that this is a diraisa and that he really is not able, lo kol heimenu, he doesn't have the legal kayach to do such a thing. according to the Mashmaut, I mean, it's not 100% clear, but the Mashmaut of some of the Rishayim is that we will not give him the Bezdin to be at his service to ruin her reputation, because that's what he wants to do. But that it's a din in the way in which we allow Bezdin to respond. It's more mashmaut, it's a drop on him. But anyway, the issue is that Eino Chinami, it is a machlokas, whether someone can have a mokum in Bezdin that could hurt someone else. Omele Rav Papa Labaye. Well, what about, if that's the case, according to Rabbi Shimon, suppose the girl says, coffee doesn't do it for me. Suppose the girl says, that's not what she says. She says, I'd rather get the money off of this guy and have my reputation ruined, okay? Everybody thinks I'm a prostitute anyway, so at least I should get paid. So therefore, she says, I would like the Bezdin to accept his hoda'ah. How about there? So my, suppose she says, I'd rather have the money. Well, says the Gemara, I mean, she'd rather have the money. Maybe her father wouldn't rather have the money and to have his daughter known as a prostitute. So what would be the din just because she wants it? Well, what about if the father also says, you know, me and her in this together, it's a good business. We want the Bezdin of Gam. So what about that? Look, I mean, maybe it doesn't really add up to people in the family. They don't want to be associated with a family like that. Even though we could say, who cares what they want? It's not their money. It's only up to the father. Because, as Rashi says, it really is not correct for a Bezdin to get involved in something where it's going to cause embarrassment to other people. Why should we get involved? We're not going to give them their day in court in a way that is going to cause embarrassment to other people. Fine. That makes sense. So maybe we should not accept it at all. Well, how about if you get the whole family to sign off, you know? Nechalu levnei mishpacha. Did you ever try buying a house in Tzfat? You have to get the whole family to sign off because there's 493 yorshim. So how are you going to buy the house? So you do the same thing over here. The guy wants to pay purchase of Pagama. He wants the Bezdin to accept it. So we get the whole family to sign up. So what if it's Nechalu levnei mishpacha? In other words, is this a din in the overall psak of the way Bezdin treats things that are causing some level of distress, or is it actually a function of the actual case where we need to assume that it's causing some level of distress? No, says the Gemara, there's no such case. There's no such case. That's always the problem with buying a house in Tzfat. Namely, there's always a guy who's moved away to Kenya, and you can't find him to get him to sign off. So there goes your deal. People work here, as Barnea well knows, I'm sure, from other cases of Yorshim in the old city and so on.
24 inheritors of the Chabad Kollel.
That's very good, but I mean, will you take a look at the caloric accountant of what it is that you're offering me?
Schweppes soda.
Will you look at the look at the calories? 52 calories for 100 grams. Were you nuts?
52
calories. Oh my God. What are you trying to kill me? Get out of here, man.
52 calories. I don't see any calories in my
That should keep him busy for a while.
It's checked by the Diabetes Council to be okay. It's got the official seal of approval.
Okay, I can think of some people I'd like to feed it to.
Diabetes.
Look, I am.
Isn't the Medina Siyam mean he has a different perspective? Not that I can't find him, because it says it's lo michale. It means he's not going to agree. He's coming from a different context.
No, that's not what it means.
Okay,
next case. Somebody comes along and he says, Ganafti, he's Mishalim, it's a Karen, but he's not Mishalim anything else. And as usual, the Gemara is quoting the wrong part of the Mishnah, which is not really the Gemara quoting, but the organizer of the print shop over here. So anyway, Omer Ganafti goes on to talk about Hemit Shori, right? Now, the question is, what we're saying over here is that when somebody is moda to a short tam, and that would be chatzi nezek, what would be the din over there? Itma, palga nizka. That's a big machlokas. Rav Papa says if a guy owns a shor that has never damaged before, at least never done it three times, that over there where the shor damages, the Torah says you pay chatzi nezek. How do we view that chatzi nezek? Is that chatzi nezek a knas or is it momon? So Rav Papa says palganiska is momon, and we'll explain that in a moment. And Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says palganiska is knas. Rav Papa, Omar palganiska momon agavi to write down. Why is that? Because kasover stam shvarim lav v'cheskashimur kaimik. Basically, you had no real right to allow that shor to go around without watching it to protect the rabbim. Remember that all of the dinim of Nezikin are a complex interrelatedness of a social contract. We all want to own shvarim, but none of us want to be damaged by shvarim, which means that the ownership of something that can be mazik on its own requires a certain level of social commitment in which I'm going to make sure that nobody else is going to be hurt. Now, let's be reasonable. I mean, the chances of my shor going out and suddenly goring someone that's never done in its life. I've had this shor for 20 years. And now, so I didn't want, of course I didn't watch it. It's a perfectly docile animal that has never exhibited any signs of being dangerous. Okay. So this is the question that we're talking about. So I took my chances. I mean, this is taking my chances, but it's a violation of the entire structure of the social order, Tainas Rav Papa, because the truth is that I only own a shor with the understanding that I provide protection. On the other hand, what I'm saying is really true. It's never done any damage. What am I expected to do? Hire somebody to watch it because of the incredibly unlikely chance that it's going to suddenly go nuts? Or I'm supposed to put a fence around my whole rishus that is strong enough to keep a shor that's enraged? I mean, like, what for? So, therefore, the Torah was actually merachem on him, because there is, of course, the nature of how much can we expect from people. That's also taken into consideration in the mishpatim described social contract. Therefore, mi'ikar hadin, I am really responsible, and therefore it's mamon. The Torah lets me off half of it because of this rachamim, which basically is also part of the social contract. Everyone needs to relax a little bit and not be on edge all the time, at which everything is going to be machayev of them. So there's an understanding that people are going to take small risks. But why should I bear your small risk? So we share it, so to speak. And therefore, it is mamon. It's just less mamon than I would have to pay mi'ikar hadin. Because there was no warning that I had that my shor was going to go nuts. Whereas Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua Amar, no, it's entirely a knas, because that is considered to be shamur. A shor that is docile is a shor shamur. And you have a right to assume that it's shamur. Now, on the other hand, we know there's a certain percentage of even supposedly docile animals that will, you know, whatever, something gets them enraged. And everybody knows, you know, Ferdinand the bull gets stung by a little bee, and like that's the end of it, right? For that day, anyway. So if that's the case, then we need to make certain that people will understand that, listen, they still have to be on edge a little bit and do something to make sure that that event won't hurt everybody else. But the midin, the lola shalom klal, I really shouldn't owe anything. The Torah gave me a knas, that even though I'm not really in violation of my responsibilities, and normally it's that violation that's machai of my ownership, but in this case, we want you to be more sensitive than you are, and therefore we're machai of you to pay some of that nezek. That's a big machlokas. Now, in the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, we learn a strange idea, that the Nizik and the Mazik share in the Tashlumin. So that means that the one who did the damage and the one who was damaged are going to share. So what do you mean they're going to share? So if you're going to tell me that the din is that Palganiska is Mamain, the way that Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yehoshua says, that makes sense. Because really, I, the damaged party, have a right to the whole thing. And I am sharing, nonetheless, in the overall social burden of allowing people to own things without going nuts. So I'm going to share some of that pain by sacrificing my right, so to speak, to collecting the whole thing. So you're going to pay half, and I'm going to pay half, because I'm losing half of my share in order to allow us to have this social contract. That makes sense. But if you tell me, Lamandi Omar Palga Niska is Knossa, wait a second over here, according to Rav Papa, I'm taking more than I deserve. So what do you mean I'm sharing? I'm not sharing. I'm actually should be celebrating that, whew, at least I got half of it back. I didn't deserve any of it, right? So how do you explain that language in the Mishnah? That seems to run against Rav Papa very profoundly. So how do you explain it? Ah, says Rav Papa, we're not talking about the payment, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about the responsibility to deal with the carcass. That's what we're talking about. Now, remember, you all know that the halacha is that the tashlume nezek is literally tashlume nezek, meaning to be mashlim, as we'll see in a moment. I only pay the difference between the live animal and the dead animal. Okay, who takes care of getting the money out of the dead animal? No, that's the burden on the damaged party, on the nizik, right? So suppose there's a difference between the value of the animal at the time of the nezek. Because remember, how do we determine the nezek? We say, okay, this animal when it was alive was worth X. This animal at the moment that the nezek occurred, if I had a buyer right then and there for that animal, it would be worth Y. So the nezek is X minus Y. Now, suppose 24 hours have passed until I got the knacker man to take care of the carcass, right? So then now it's only worth X minus Y minus C, which was the amount of time that passed and has caused deterioration in the value of the meat that has started to spoil or whatever, right? Now it's only good for hot dogs. So no insults. Anyway, so in that case, who pays that difference? Well, that's the nizik. I mean, look, it was your carcass. You should have taken care of it. Well, I tried my best. That's not my problem, says the mazik. It's your carcass. So in that sense, the nizik is going to be participating in the actual damage because that was real money. And that's true even if we're talking about knas. So in that sense, it's still correct to say that the pchat nevela, the deterioration in the value of the nevela, is something that the nizik has to pay. But pchat nevela, I mean, isn't that very much clear in the Braita? Because it says in the Mishnah, it uses the lashon of tashlume nezek. And the lashon of tashlume nezek, as opposed to the nezek, is that only the difference, to be mashlim, and that includes the fact that the baalim have to take care of the nevela. The owner takes care of the nevela. That's true. You're right. But there are two different dinim. One applies to the din of a tam, and one applies to the din of a muad. And I need to know both of them. I need to know a nizik v'mazik v'tashlumim, and I need to know that there's a din of tashlumi nezek. Because let's say that I would have known the halacha of a tam. I would say, okay, the reason that that's true is that the mazik is being let off the hook. Why? Because, look, I mean, it never damaged before. I had no idea that this was going to happen. I mean, come on, I got to also take care of the carcass. Okay, so maybe over there the Torah is being mekel on the mazik because he didn't know. Mashain Kane, in the case of a muad, we should say, listen here, you want to take risks on other people's things, you know, so take care of it. You're sure caused damage. Not only should you pay for all the damage, but you should also be responsible to make sure that the carcass was sold, and that's your responsibility. Maybe. So maybe over there, I would say that you are chayev, even though the balim was basically the balim of the nevela, right? And on the other hand, suppose the Mishnah said only a muad would say the case by a muad. I would say maybe that's only by a muad because, I mean, look, a muad is really paying the entire value. Okay, so if he's paying the entire value, we let him off of the problem of taking care of the carcass. But where anyway he's getting away with murder, he's only paying chatzi nezek, so It makes sense to at least have him take care of that, right? Aval tam emalo. Okay, so therefore, tzrich, I need both cases to tell me hanizik v'amazik b'tashlumim and tashlumei nezek, both b'tam and b'muat. Well, tashma, let's take a look at the Mishnah Baba Kama that lists ostensibly all of the differences between tam and muat. And what's more, that chatzi nezek is limited. Its upper value is the actual body of the animal that causes the nezek. So it's chatzi nezek, but only migufo. So let's say the chatzi nezek itself was $700, and this entire shor that did the damage was only worth $500. I mean, it was only worth $200, sorry. So that the chatzi nezek would be 350. So, okay, so fine. I'm limited, though, to 200, because that's what the value of the shor is. And therefore, he ends up not even getting his chatzi nezek. Okay? So that's one big difference, is tam versus muad in terms of the amount of the nezek. Another big difference is whether it's paid migufo, or whether muad mishalem nezek shalem min ha'aliyah, which means whatever it is, take it out of his bank account, right? Take it out of his, if he's paying karka, then it has to be mi'aliyah from the best karka. And it doesn't say over there the big difference that should fit according to what our mission just discussed, that it should say that the tam eino mishalem al piatzmo, if you hold that chatzi nezek is a knas, then it could have said a big, big difference. If somebody comes in and he's made that he's short time damaged, he's potter, because chatzi nezek is a knas. Whereas the muad is mishalem al piatzmo, which is, seems to be very clearly saying that it is mammon and not knas. Yeah, okay, but, you know, I mean, this is not a full coverage Mishnah. It tells me every single difference in every possible circumstance between tam and muad. So it left out this piece, Tana Vashir. Some things it mentions, and other things are not mentioned. Well, what do you mean? There's like one thing it doesn't mention? This makes sense to you? I mean, you're coming already and you're telling me these differences, the Yagufa, the Aliyah, the Chatzin, you can't just add in this one and make it full? I mean, if you're telling me, yeah, there's a bunch of things we don't talk about, the Mishnah's not supposedly, there we go, an empty cup. That makes more sense. I'll drink the empty cup too. So what's the other thing that was left out? Give me at least one other thing that was left out. So my shir, die shir. Shir chatzi kofer. We left out a case that if a tam kills someone, then he doesn't even pay half of the kofer. That's a big difference. So there's tashlume kofer b'muad, and there's no tashlume kofer at all b'tam. But don't ask that, Dafka. I mean, it doesn't prove that the Mishnah left anything out. I still believe that the Mishnah is definitely against Rav Papa if I don't hold a Rav Papa, because I would say Mishum Chatzi Kofer, that's not called leaving anything out, because the Tana of the Mishnah maybe is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that a tam is mishalim chatzi kofer. And therefore, since I've already discussed the fact that tam pays only half what the muad pays, that includes chatzi kofer as well. Now, there's a big machlokas, remember, about whether the chatzi kofer, what is the full kofer? Is the full kofer the value of the Baal HaShor, who was supposedly Chayav Misa, Yumat, so he should pay his own value, which is sort of the way the Gemara was talking about it before, that you could buy your way out of a Chayav Misa. We wanted to use that as the model. But remember that there's a machlokas of whether kofer is the domim of the mazik or kofer is the domim of the nizik. So if you're paying kofer in the sense of I'm paying the value of the person who was killed by my shor, that's a different sense of kofer, isn't it? So wouldn't the question of whether I pay chatzi kofer be dependent on that? Or whether kofer is mammon or kofer is knas, wouldn't it be dependent on that? In other words, if I'm paying for the damaged person, so then that's mammon. If I'm paying myself, my own value, maybe my value may be 10 times as much as the person who was killed, you know, so then it would be knas. Same thing ought to be true over here. I mean, if I'm paying the chatzi, so then it's because it's tashlumin. But if I'm paying for myself, I mean, what sense does it mean paying half of me? It doesn't make any sense at all. So what we have to understand is, as the Rishonim speak out, this is really a Baba Kama Sugya, but it's important once the Gemara here brings up. Remember, I've told you that they call Ketuvot Shas Katan. This is about every issue that you find in Shas. You find in Ketuvos as a center of all of the ideas of compensation and so on. So this too is not necessarily the case, because even if one is paying his own value, or even if it's vice versa, the other way, you could still say this is the way the Torah defines the nature of the value that you need to pay it, but it's not really a payment for Nezik. Or you could say just the opposite. To redeem your life is to pay what it is, the damages that you caused in the world by your life. So it isn't necessarily interrelated, even though it strikes you on the surface as being the same sugya. Okay, let's take a look from our Mishnah. Now, in our Mishnah, we know that our Mishnah has put together a bunch of cases in which someone is not mishalem al piatzmo. So what does it say in our Mishnah? It says, hey, mi shari et ploni, o sharo shal ploni, you are mishalem al piatzmo. Now, I'm assuming, I mean, it doesn't say shor tam or shor muad, so, I mean, the pashtus is, it's referring to a shor tam, you know, as well. So that basically you're saying that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and will pay Chatzi Kofer. We'll see in a moment why it is that we think it's talking about a Tom specifically. So, my love, a Tom, lo, b'muad, who says? Maybe it's talking about a Muad. No, because then, look, so what are you telling me? It's only b'muad, but in the case of a Tom, what would be the din? Ain't a Mishalim al Piatzma. So then he wouldn't have to pay anything al Piatzma. So then, why did we change the Mishnah to change to the Evet case where we were talking about where you could be made and be potter because it's a knas? And that is that we stuck in instead of ploni, avdo shal ploni. So avdo shal ploni, then eino mishalim al piatzmo. But that, why did I have to change the case? If you're going to tell me that it, even by this, the person himself, if it's a tam, he's not mishalim, then you could have made that the difference. You could have said, bameh dvarim amurim bimu'at. But eino chinami, a tam is not mishalim al pi atzmo at all, right? Not necessarily. Suppose the whole point of the Mishnah is to describe the din of mu'at, okay? So I'm trying to show you the nafkamina between knas and Tashlumin in the case of a Muad. So therefore, I want to make the difference between the halacha of the Eved and the other dinim in which I'm talking about having killed this guy. And I hold that by a Muad, the din of Kofar is indeed that it's moment. So that's not a taina. Okay, so take a look at the end of the Mishnah. Didn't you notice something odd about the end of the Mishnah? I mean, we talked about this. Zakla. Now, what does that imply? That implies that if you're paying less than what you were mazik, so then you would pay, even by your own hodah, right? Which means that chatzi nezek is absolutely tashlumin and not knas. Isn't that like what beautiful, what the whole point of the Mishnah is? I'm telling you, it's only where you could end up paying more. But if you're paying by definition less, because you're only going to pay half, so then we know for certain that we're talking about a knas, only if it's more, but if not, it's mamon. Well, yeah, it is mashma that, but maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe lo tema ha-pachot mimashis. I mean, you're making an implication. Only if you're paying more, then it's, but if you're paying less, not. No, maybe that's not the right implication. Maybe the right implication is, if you're paying more, but if you pay what you damage, then not. Lo tema ha-pachot mimashizik ema, but if you would be paying what you damaged, then you would pay, even on the basis of your hoda. Excuse me? What do you mean, don't make that implication? How did I suddenly come along not make the implication? Just tell me what you believe. You believe that pachot. The din is my. that even pachot ena mishalim al piatzmo. So why would the Mishnah have to write something that would have the wrong implications? Why not just say what you mean, for God's sake? All you need to say is litnei zeakla kol she'ena mishalim mashis. If you're not paying exactly what you damaged, then the din is that ena mishalim al piatzmo. That would have included everything. It would have included chatzi nezik. It would have included the shloshim shel eved. It would have included kefil. I mean, I don't understand what you're telling me. Well, I could understand the implications of that language. Why would a Mishnah use a language where I have to explain away the implications? No, it's got to mean that chatzi nezik is actually mumon. Kiyufta. You're right. But the halacha is that it's a knas. What? I thought, didn't we just say it's a tiyufta? It's a tiyufta. And how you come along and now you say, but the halacha is, even though it's a tiyufta, how could it be a tiyufta? And then a halacha, excuse me? Yes, because you weren't thinking properly. I'll tell you why. What was the basis of your big tiyufta that has lasted for some years before somebody found the fatal flaw in your theory? The whole basis of the tiyufta was that the language was inappropriate because it should have said kol she'eino mishalim kimoshes, right? Well, I just figured out why it cannot possibly say kimoshes. There's no way to say that because it's wrong. It is? Yes. Because we know that there's a case in the Torah where specifically you pay less than what you were mazik, and nonetheless, it's considered to be 100% tashlumin of the normal kind, and actually, it's mumon and not knas. In which case, you would be mishalem al piatzmo, and I could not, it would be extremely misleading to have said that anybody who doesn't pay precisely what he damaged is a knas, because it's not true. And what case is that? The famous case of chatzi nezek tzrorot. Gavi. Chatzi nezek tzrorot. So what does chatzi nezek tzrorot mean? So we have, remember, a different kind of understanding of the nature of regel, let's say, than we would from Karen. Karen requires a desire to damage. It's called kavanato lahazik. Regel, on the other hand, means it's just the normal way that animals walk. So if an animal walking around tramples over your food, so then assuming that that food was in a rishus harabim where the animal had rishus to walk, well, then you're supposed to take care of your food. But in the event that that animal is treading in a place where it had no right to be, then it is responsible. The owner therefore pays. And that's mama. Now, what happens if an animal is walking along and instead of trampling anything, it steps on some stones. The stone is therefore shot out from under its leg and hits your beautiful glass vase. So what's the din over there? It didn't trample. So I mean, you can't call it really regel directly, but it was damaged by the regel as a secondary kerach. So that secondary kerach, which is called kocho, the koach of regel is included in the damages, but again, because of the issues that we'll discuss in Bava Kamma about the nature of the social contract, the halacha is that you pay only half. And over there it says, the farish as halacha l'mosh misinai, that the half that you're paying is standard tashlume regel, which means that it's normative tashlumin and is not considered to be a knas. So how do you expect me to write in the Mishnah something that is a straight out lie? Anybody who doesn't pay precisely what it is that he was damaging, that is considered to be a knas. That is absolutely not true. And there goes your tiyufta. The Mishnah had no choice but to write anybody who pays more. If he's paying more, it's definitely a knas. Now, the implication is, but if he's paying less, that's not true. Because now your tiyufta no longer applies. So I see that for the last 2 minutes, we got a half of a foreman here. And what happened to the other half of the foremans? Okay, but at least it's a smiley half. So that makes up for something. Good. So therefore, even ikachatzi nezik tzorot. We're over there. It's mamish halacha lemesh misinai. The hilchot or gemiri law that is normative mamona. Mishamachi lo katani. Now that we've come out with the halacha that palgan iska is kedusha, there's a lot of implications for us who are thinking about living in Palo Alto or Cherry Hill. What would happen over there? Well, since, of course, in places like Cherry Hill, there is no tashlumim of knas, because after all, you don't have any real dayanim outside of Eretz Yisrael, and there's no mumchim, so you can't be dan dine knas. So now you've got another problem, because since everybody in Cherry Hill owns a doggy, what happens if that doggy causes nezek, that is more than the standard nezek, and he does something strange? And what he does is he attacks a whole sheep. Dogs don't normally attack live sheep. Or what about if you have a cat and the cat eats a big chicken? And it doesn't usually go for big chickens, or, you know, certainly not those beautiful tanagolim. So the din is, that's mishuneh, that's abnormal. And the practical implications of such a thing are, don't live in Cherry, no, sorry. And the practical implications of such a thing is that you cannot collect. And therefore, lo magvin and bavel. So in bavel, you cannot collect such a thing. But if the doggy ate something small, like a little, you know, a tiny newborn kid, that's urche. And that you can actually collect, even in bavel, because that would be mama. But the thing is like this. If the nizik grabs your, grabs what? Now, this is a big machlokas rishoni. Some learn, if the nizik grabs the doggy, because remember, the chatzinezik is only mishulam migufo, chatzinezik migufo. So we don't look at it that you can simply go ahead and grab the guy's wallet and say, I'm not going to give you back your wallet until you pay me that chatzim, or I'll take the money out of your wallet. But that's machlokas. So if he was tafas, lo mafkin amina, then the court doesn't get involved to take it away from him either. And what about if he doesn't want to be just collecting on his own? And what he says is, akbu li zimna le'eretz Yisrael. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, to Beis Din, and let them determine whether this guy owes me money. And the guy says, what, are you crazy? I'm going to go all the way to Eretz Yisrael for you to sue me for $10 for a half of a chicken? Get out of here. No, the din is that the Beis Din will force him to travel. Will be either pay what the guy wants or go to court, even if you only go to court in Beis Din. So then the deal is, we will be koveya that he has to pay. He has to go, and if he refuses to go, we'll put him into nidui. And no matter what, whether the guy collected or didn't collect, or he had a date, a court date in Eretz Yisrael, we will put a nidui on the owner of the dog, and we will tell him, get rid of the damage. That dog has got to go. Because of Rabbi Nassim, the Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Minayin Shiloh Yigadel Adam Kelev Rab Betoch Beito. How do we know that you're not allowed to have a bad dog, a vicious dog, this is the way they call it, or Lo Yamit Sulam Ra'ua Betoch Beito? You should not have, even in your own home, you should not have a staircase that is weak, or a ladder that has a broken rung or something. You're not allowed to do that. And say, but the whole family knows exactly where not to step. No, that's an iser gomer. Shenemar velot asim damim beveitecha. You don't have the rights to be koveya any kind of risks to even just the members of your household. And this brings us once again to this very important moment. Where is our Richie? Hello? Hadron aloch elu narot. Narashinit patita. So suppose a girl has been seduced, the boshet, pagam, and knas belong to her father, as we've seen many times, and we will discuss Bezrat Hashem tomorrow with the Hashlama of the Mishnah.